So Christian turned out of his way to go to Mr. Legality's house for help. But behold, when he was got now hard by the hill, it seemed so high, and also that side of it that was next the wayside did hang so much over, that Christian was afraid to venture further, lest the hill should fall on his head. Wherefore there he stood still, and he wot not what to do. Also his burden now seemed heavier to him than while he was in his way. There came also flashes of fire out of the hill that made Christian afraid that he should be burned. Here therefore he sweat and did quake for fear. And now he began to be sorry that he had taken Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel. And with that he saw Evangelist coming to meet him, at the sight also of whom he began to blush for shame. So Evangelist drew nearer and nearer, and coming up to him, he looked upon him with a severe and dreadful countenance, and thus began to reason with Christian. "What doest thou here, Christian?" said he. At which words Christian knew not what to answer. Wherefore, at present he stood speechless before him. Then said Evangelist, "Father, art not thou the man that I found crying without the walls of the city of destruction?" "Yes, dear sir, I am the man. Did not I direct thee the way to the little wicket gate?" "Yes, dear sir," said Christian. "How is it then that thou art so quickly turned aside? For thou art now come out of the way." "I met with a gentleman so soon as I had got over the Slough of Despond, who persuaded me that I might, in the village before me, find a man that could take off my burden." "What was he?" "He looked like a gentleman, and talked much to me, and got me at last to yield, so I came hither. But when I beheld this hill, and how it hangs over the way, I suddenly made a stand, lest it should fall on my head." "What said that gentleman to you?" "Why, he asked me whither I was going, and I told him."
"And what said he then?"
"He asked me if I had a family, and I told him. But, said I am so loaden with the burden that is on my back, that I cannot take pleasure in them as formerly."
"And what said he then?"
"He bid me with speed get rid of my burden, and I told him 'twas ease that I sought. And said I am therefore going to yonder gate to receive farther direction how I may get to the place of deliverance. So he said that he would show me a better way, and short, not so attended with difficulties as the way, sir, that you set me in. Which way, said he, will direct you to a gentleman's house that hath skill to take off these burdens. So I believed him, and turned out of that way into this, if haply I might be soon eased of my burden. But when I came to this place, and beheld things as they are, I stopped for fear, as I said, of danger. But I now know not what to do."
"Then," said Evangelist, "stand still a little, that I may show thee the words of God." So he stood trembling. Then said Evangelist, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." He said, moreover, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." He also did thus apply them. "Thou art the man that art running into this misery. Thou hast begun to reject the counsel of the Most High, and to draw back thy foot from the way of peace, even almost to the hazarding of thy perdition." Then Christian fell down at his foot as dead, crying, "Woe is me, for I am undone." At the sight of which Evangelist caught him by the right hand, saying, "All manner of sin and blasphemies shall be forgiven unto men. Be not faithless, but believing." Then did Christian again a little revive, and stood up trembling, as at first, before Evangelist. Then Evangelist proceeded, saying, "Give more earnest heed to the things that I shall tell thee of. I will now show thee who it was that deluded thee, and who it was also to whom he sent thee. The man that met thee is one worldly wise man, and rightly he is so caught, partly because he savoureth only the doctrine of this world. Therefore he always goes to the town of morality to church, and partly because he loveth that doctrine best, for it saveth him from the cross, and because he is of this carnal temper. Therefore he seeketh to pervert my ways, though right. Now there are three things in this man's counsel that thou must utterly abhor. Number one, his turning thee out of the way. Number two, his labouring to render the cross odious to thee. And number three, and his setting thy feet in that way that leadeth unto the administration of death. First, thou must abhor his turning thee out of the way, yea, and thine own consenting thereto, because this is to reject the counsel of God for the sake of the counsel of a worldly wise man. The Lord says, strive to enter in at the strait gate, the gate to which I sent thee, for strait is the gate that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. From this little wicket gate, and from the way thereto, hath this wicked man turned thee, to the bringing of thee almost to destruction. Hate therefore his turning thee out of the way, and abhor thyself for hearkening to him. Secondly, thou must abhor his labouring to render the cross odious unto thee, for thou art to prefer it before the treasures in Egypt. Besides, the King of Glory hath told thee that he that will save his life shall lose it, and he that comes after me and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I say therefore, for a man to labour to persuade thee, that shall be thy death, without which the truth hath said, thou canst not have eternal life. This doctrine thou must abhor. Thirdly, thou must hate his setting of thy feet in the way that leadeth to the ministration of death. And for this thou must consider to whom he sent thee, and also how unable that person was to deliver thee from thy burden. He to whom thou wast sent for ease, being by name Legality, is the son of the bondwoman, which now is, and is in bondage with her children, and is in a mystery this Mount Sinai, which thou hast feared will fall on thy head. Now if she with her children are in bondage, how canst thou expect by them to be made free? This Legality, therefore, is not able to set thee free from thy burden. No man was as yet ever rid of his burden by him. No, nor ever is like to be. Ye cannot be justified by the works of the law. For by the deeds of the law, no man living can be rid of his burden. Therefore, Mr. Worldly Wise Man is an alien, and Mr. Legality a cheat. And for his son's civility, notwithstanding his simpering looks, he is but a hypocrite, and cannot help thee. Believe me, there is nothing in all this noise that thou hast heard of this sottish man, but a design to beguile thee of thy salvation, by turning thee from the way in which I had set thee." After this, Evangelist called aloud to the heavens for confirmation of what he had said, and with that there came words and fire out of the mountain under which poor Christian stood, that made the hair of his flesh stand up. The words were thus pronounced: "As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Now Christian looked for nothing but death, and began to cry out lamentably, even cursing the time in which he met with Mr. Worldly Wise Man, still calling himself a thousand fools, for hearkening to his counsel. He also was greatly ashamed to think that this gentleman's arguments, flowing only from the flesh, should have that prevalency with him as to cause him to forsake the right way. This done, he applied himself again to Evangelist in words and sense as follows. "Sir, what think you? Is there hopes? May I now go back and go up to the wicket gate? Shall I not be abandoned for this, and sent back from thence ashamed? I am sorry I have hearkened to this man's counsel, but may my sin be forgiven?" Then said Evangelist to him, "Thy sin is very great, for by it thou hast committed two evils. Thou hast forsaken the way that is good, to tread in forbidden paths. Yet will the man at the gate receive thee, for he has good will for men. Only," said he, "take heed that thou turn not aside again, lest thou perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little." Then did Christian address himself to go back, and Evangelist, after he had kissed him, gave him one smile, and bid him God speed. So he went on with haste, neither spake he to any man by the way, nor if any asked him, would he vouchsafe them an answer. He went like one that was all the while treading on forbidden ground, and could by no means think himself safe, till again he was got into the way which he left to follow Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel. So in process of time, Christian got up to the gate. Now over the gate there was written, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." He knocked therefore more than once or twice, saying, "May I now enter here? Will he within open to sorry me, though I have been an undeserving rebel? Then shall I not fail to sing his lasting praise on high." At last there came a grave person to the gate, named Goodwill, who asked, "Who was there, and whence he came, and what he would have?" "Here is a poor burdened sinner. I come from the city of destruction, but am going to Mount Zion, that I may be delivered from the wrath to come. I would therefore, sir, since I am informed that by this gate is the way thither, know if you are willing to let me in." "I am willing with all my heart," said he, and with that he opened the gate. So when Christian was stepping in, the other gave him a pull. Then said Christian, "What means that?" The other told him, "A little distance from this gate there is erected a strong castle, of which Beelzebub is the captain, and from thence both he and them that are with him shoot arrows at those that come up to this gate, if haply they may die before they can enter in." Then said Christian, "I rejoice and tremble." So when he was got in, the man of the gate asked him who directed him thither. "Evangelist bid me come hither and knock, as I did. And he said that you, sir, would tell me what I must do." "He that will enter in must first without stand knocking at the gate, nor need to doubt. That is a knocker but to enter in, for God can love him and forgive his sin. An open door is set before thee, and no man can shut it. Now I begin to reap the benefits of my hazards. But how is it that you came alone? Because none of my neighbours saw their danger as I saw mine. Did any of them know of your coming? Yes, my wife and children saw me at the first, and called after me to turn again. Also some of my neighbours stood crying and calling after me to return, but I put my fingers in my ears, and so came on my way. But did none of them follow you to persuade you to go back? Yes, both obstinate and pliable. But when they saw that they could not prevail, obstinate went railing back, but pliable came with me a little way. But why did he not come through? We indeed came both together until we came at the Slough of Despond, into the which we also suddenly fell. And then was my neighbour, pliable, discouraged, and would not adventure further. Wherefore, getting out again on that side next to his own house, he told me, I should possess the brave country alone for him. So he went his way, and I came mine, he after obstinate, and I to this gate. Then said Goodwill, alas, poor man, is the celestial glory of so small esteem with him that he counteth it not worth running the hazard of a few difficulties to obtain it? Truly, said Christian, I have said the truth of Pliable, and if I should also say all the truth of myself, it will appear there is no betterment twixt him and myself. 'Tis true, he went back to his own house, but I also turned aside to go in the way of death, being persuaded thereto by the carnal arguments of one Mr. Worldly Wise Man. Oh, did he light upon you? What, he would have had you sought for ease at the hands of Mr. Legality. They are both of them a very cheat. But did you take his counsel? Yes, as far as I durst. I went to find out Mr. Legality, until I thought that the mountain that stands by his house would have fallen on my head, wherefore there I was forced to stop. That mountain has been the death of many, and will be the death of many more. 'Tis well you escaped being by it dashed in pieces. Why, truly, I do not know what had become of me there, had not Evangelist happily met me again as I was musing in the midst of my dumps. But it was God's mercy that he came to me again, for else I had never come hither. But now I am come, such a one as I am, more fit indeed for death by that mountain than thus to stand talking with my Lord. But oh, what a favour is this to me, that yet I am admitted entrance here. We make no objections against any, notwithstanding all that they have done before they come hither. They in no wise are cast out. And therefore, good Christian, come a little way with me, and I will teach thee about the way thou must go. Look before thee. Dost thou see this narrow way? That is the way thou must go. It was cast up by the patriarchs, prophets, Christ and his apostles. And it as straight as a rule can make it. This is the way thou must go. But, said Christian, are there no turnings nor windings by which a stranger may lose his way? Yes, there are many ways but down upon this, and they are crooked and wide. But thus thou mayest distinguish the right from the wrong, the right only being straight and narrow. Then I saw in my dream that Christian asked him further, if he could not help him off with his burden that was upon his back, for as yet he had not got rid thereof, nor could he by any means get it off without help. He told him, as to thy burden, be content to bear it until thou comest to the place of deliverance, for there it will fall from thy back of itself. Then Christian began to gird up his loins, and to address himself to his journey. So the other told him, that by that he was gone some distance from the gate, he would come at the house of the interpreter, at whose door he should knock, and he would show him excellent things. Then Christian took his leave of his friend, and he again bid him God speed. Then he went on till he came at the house of the interpreter, where he knocked over and over. At last one came to the door and asked, who was there? Sir, here is a traveller who was bid by an acquaintance of the good man of this house to call here for my profit. I would therefore speak with the master of the house. So he called for the master of the house, who after a little time came to Christian and asked him what he would have. Sir, said Christian, I am a man that am come from the city of destruction and am going to the Mount Zion. And I was told by the man that stands at the gate, at the head of this way, that if I called here, you would show me excellent things, such as would be a help to me in my journey. Then said the interpreter, come in, I will show thee that which will be profitable to thee. So he commanded his man to light the candle, and bid Christian follow him. So he had him into a private room, and bid his man open a door, the which, when he had done, Christian saw the picture of a very grave person hang up against the wall, and this was the fashion of it. It had eyes lifted up to heaven, the best of books in his hand, the law of truth was written upon his lips, the world was behind his back. It stood as if it pleaded with men, and a crown of gold did hang over its head. Then said Christian, "What means this?" The man whose picture this is one of a thousand. He can beget children, travel in birth with children, and nurse them himself when they are born. And whereas thou seest him with eyes lift up to heaven, the best of books in his hand, and the law of truth writ on his lips, it is to show thee that his work is to know and to unfold dark things to sinners. Even as also thou seest him stand as if he pleaded with men, and whereas thou seest a world as cast behind him, and that a crown hangs over his head, that is to show thee that slighting and despising the things that are present, for the love that he hath to his master's service, he is sure in the world that comes next to have glory for his reward. Now, said the interpreter, I have showed thee this picture first, because the man whose picture this is the only man whom the Lord of the place whither thou art going hath authorized to be thy guide in all difficult places thou mayest meet with in the way. Wherefore take good heed to what I have showed thee, and bear well in thy mind what thou hast seen, lest in thy journey thou meet with some that pretend to lead thee right, but their way goes down to death. Christian, though carrying the name, is not as yet converted. Mistakenly, he had listened to the foolish counsel of Mr. Worldly Wiseman and made his way to Mr. Legality's house for help. It is here that we are reminded of another mistake people make when trying to find peace with God. Many believe that trying to keep God's law will grant them acceptance with the Almighty. However, while the law of God is perfect, just, and good, we are not. Remember, all the time we are outside of Christ, we are still carrying this burden of guilt and shame. The law of God, then, is a terror to such, not a comfort. Bunyan depicts this by the hill, which the Christian was so high, so threatening, that he felt it would fall on his head. Thankfully, Evangelist comes along and points Christian back to the right way. Evangelist's message is both solemn but comforting. He explains to the erring pilgrim that by the works of the law, no one can be justified. Being directed back to the right way, Christian comes at last to the wicket gate, over which the words of Matthew 7, verse 8 are written. It is here in the story that Bunyan breaks down various aspects of the conversion experience. When someone comes to Jesus Christ, all of these things are simultaneous. For example, a person hears the effectual call of the Spirit, is regenerated, turns from sin, believes on Jesus Christ, and knows full and free justification all at once. However, it is helpful to break these vital parts down. Jesus exhorts us to enter the straight gate. Just as Christian felt sharp arrows fire at him, so Satan will be relentless in all he can do to hinder our going. After conversing with Mr. Goodwill at the gate about his experiences and what lay ahead, Christian again asks about how he can be rid of his burden. The focus here is still the need for deliverance. It is here we are given a glimpse of what lay ahead, the cross of Jesus Christ, the place where the burden rolls away. But first, Christian must make his way to the curious and fascinating house of the interpreter. Many believe that Bunyan is depicting the gospel-preaching church, and certainly when Christian enters this house, his first sight is to behold a picture in which the gospel preacher is represented. Those who minister the word of God and preach the gospel are as this, serious men, with eyes fixed on heaven, holding in their hands the best of books in the Bible, and from their lips must go the law of truth with the world behind them.